Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. I'm your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I have a very, very accomplished individual in personal branding, Tanvi Bhatt. Tanvi, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Ashutosh. Thank you for hosting me.
Thank you. Tanvi is the founder of Tanvi Bhatt International, India's premier personal branding company. She's a bioinformatics scientist who fell in love with branding. She's a keynote speaker, the recipient of the Global Young Woman Entrepreneur Award, and she's been recognized, awarded, and felicitated several times. So Tanvi, let's talk personal branding. What is personal branding?
Well, simply put, personal branding is a celebration of everything you are, your core expertise, your experiments that you've done in your life, and the experience that you bring on the table as a unique stream of consciousness who's living a very human, very ephemeral adventure on the planet. That is my definition of personal branding.
And a lot of people talk about personal branding. How important is it to invest in your own brand?
I cannot stress enough on how important it is for individuals, but from my own personal experience, I wouldn't be here if I wouldn't have had the opportunity a decade ago to discover the industry of personal branding and, of course, embark into being a player in the industry, crafting the industry. 10 years ago, the industry didn't even exist, right? I started looking for someone to mentor me to build my own brand fresh out of my B-school because I wanted to get into the business of public speaking coaching. If I wouldn't have found anyone, which I didn't naturally, you know, the only option for me at that point of time was to build the industry, to be the first one to do some work in this industry, because I was sure that there are millions of others. If I, a fresh graduate out of B school, was aspiring to do something to build my brand so that I don't have to knock every time I need new business in the industry, I knew that there would be so many more people, whether you're coaches, consultants, speakers, authors, or of course, business leaders or CEOs and CXOs. Everyone would want to do something truly remarkable in their respective careers, have a long-lasting impact that outlives each one of us. That is a primal human need that we have today. So that is what, of course, I realized today. But at that point, I just really wanted someone to help me build my own brand so that I create a pull effect and don't have to go knock every time I needed new business. So if it's so important for me at that point of time as a fresh graduate, I cannot overemphasize or stress the importance of having every individual who's ambitious, who's aggressive, who really wants to do something remarkable in his or her life and career, to adopt the strategic art of personal brand management.
Wonderful. So tell me, what are some of the factors that need to be taken into account to build one's personal brand?
For me, it is a beautiful mosaic of 11 factors that help an individual build a strong reputation, because these are the 11 dimensions of a life that people experience you across. But one thing, if I really have to speak about, and that is the defining golden thread of all the work that I do, and I help my clients do as well, is your thought leadership. Because you cannot imagine to build a brand that is relevant, that is valuable, and that would have the potential to outlive you if you don't have thought leadership at the DNA, at the soul of your personal brand. So for me, your core thought leadership, what you do better, what you do different, and what you do noble than your so-called peers or competition in your industry is what either makes or breaks your personal brand. So out of those 11 dimensions, this one dimension is the most important, because also, you know, those other 10 dimensions, I don't want to go into that detail right now. I'm happy to, if you want me to, will really help you funnel your core expertise, experience, and experiment into the genesis of your thought leadership.
So, you know, I understand thought leadership. At what stage does an individual believe, from the corporate world, I'm saying, that they are in a position to build themselves as thought leaders?
There is no stage, if you ask me, in terms of years of experience. Okay, so if that was the context, there is no right or wrong stage, or there is no qualifying criteria that I need to have 20 plus years of work experience to think about thought leadership. today across the world, if you look at some of the most beloved thought leaders or influencers or game changers, these guys are literally millennials. They're either in their late 20s, some early 20s or early 30s. And these guys have beautifully synthesized, again, those three core things that define your thought leadership: your core expertise or your passions that you really want to explore. Because if you don't have 25 years of work experience, there are chances that you probably would not call yourself an expert in something. Mm-hmm. Right, by industry definitions at least. Mm-hmm. So for expertise, experience, and experiments of your life, the individuals who have the courage to synthesize these together and craft their idea of what they are doing differently, mm-hmm. make this world or their tribe a better place, mm-hmm. to help others do something better because of what life taught them.
Okay.
That's all you need. Okay. As main ingredients of thought leadership. So it doesn't matter if you have 25 years of work experience or 2.5 years of work experience, in my humble opinion.
Wonderful. And what role does social media play in building a personal brand?
Very important. I think I wouldn't have been able to build my brand, at least in the last decade, if it was not for social media. I would not have had the privilege of meeting some amazing individuals. Mm-hmm. I had the opportunity to work with them or pitch myself to them if it wasn't for social media. Mm-hmm. So extremely important. But is it the be all and end all of your brand? Are numbers the be all and end all of your brand? Absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I know I have friends in the US who are multi-million dollar speakers. They are professional. Keynote fees start upwards of $25,000 for an hour of their keynoting. Right. And if you ask me, how is their social media presence? Minimal. Mm-hmm. How is their Instagram following? Minimal. Are they there? Are they doing stuff that they should be doing? Yes, absolutely. But is their target audience also there doing what they expect the target audience to be doing, that is engaging with them and their content? No. Mm-hmm. Because the target audience is very different. The target audience is not the Instagram generation. So when you look at social media, ask yourself, where is my target audience? Is my target audience even active on social media? If yes, which? Do they like to engage with thinkers, influencers, thought leaders like me via social media, or they prefer one-to-one engagement? Mm-hmm. Right? So you really have to, when you talk about social media, I always believe that go where your target audience is. If they're online, brilliant. Channel all your efforts and energy is there. If not, then no worries. There are 1,000 other platforms in the traditional offline world where the business would happen before social media really hijacked our lives. So focus on where your target audience is to build a brand that matters to them, unless it's an ego boost for you.
No, I understand. And how does one decide which is the right platform to be on? I mean, you know, there are influencers on every possible platform.
Absolutely.
So how does one determine which is my kind of platform?
I will go back to the same answer. Where is your target audience? Number one. Mm. If your target audience is CEOs, for example, or CXOs, or business leaders in the corporates, or HR head of the corporates, why would you invest your time on Instagram to build a brand which is probably not going to give you the same sizable results or ROI that a LinkedIn would or a Twitter would? Mm. Right? You choose those platforms where your target audience is potentially active and is willing to engage with you for the expertise that you bring on the table. Then you choose a platform that allows you creative experiments with your content. Mm-hmm. If you are video savvy, brilliant. You can choose either Instagram or YouTube or LinkedIn also now, because LinkedIn is also super prepped up for video. But if your target audience is not on LinkedIn and you still want to do video, then I think YouTube becomes a great platform for you to have that library of content for yourself, which gets beautifully disseminated in bits and bytes across different platforms. So choose your target audience, choose your creative ingenuity on what kind of content you would like to create, video, text, podcast, and then create those content pieces for the specific target media that you've chosen that will even resonate with your target audience, and then decide which platform you should invest time and energy on.
Okay. And, you know, I know you mentioned that there is no age to determine thought leadership, or no age to really determine when I should build one's personal brand. But for a common individual, you know, not someone who's exceptionally gifted or not someone who's already got a unicorn in place, etc. At what stage of one's career does one start to think of building a personal brand?
The day zero of your career, very honestly. Today, there are young kids who are 12 years old who have started focusing on building their digital presence. Are they manifesting thought leadership? Perhaps not. But are they conscious about their personal brand presence and visibility? Absolutely, yes. Right. So the moment you step out into the big bad world of business, mm-hmm. commerce, you know, at the age of 18, 19, depending on, again, how hungry you are to mm-hmm. make mark for yourself, mm-hmm. you need to be focused on building your presence, your identity, your reputation from the day zero of your career, and whatever that day zero is for you. It could be the first of your college, it could be the last year of your college, it could be the first of your corporate job.
So isn't it important for you to understand yourself before you start thinking of, you know, being able to impart any kind of knowledge to someone else? And therefore, my question to you is that, is a behavioral change necessary or not necessary at all?
I'm so glad you asked this question. This is perhaps the most important stage of personal branding, authority, leadership creation or development, at least the lens with which I approach the subject matter. For any individual to express himself or herself mm-hmm. or talk about what matters to them or be able to trigger the genesis of their ideas, their message, their impact, unless you have the deep level of introspection done, unless you're in absolute awareness of who you are at a spiritual level, at an emotional level, at an intellectual level, and you're able to synthesize all those things together mm-hmm. to create something worthy of being evangelized, not just by yourself, but by others, naturally. Mm-hmm. How much will you do, you know? You're going to be able to create a revolution with your ideas only when you have a tribe evangelizing and supporting and championing you and your ideas. Mm-hmm. But for that to happen, you need that deep level of awareness, crystal clear resonance with mm-hmm. what matters to you. Mm-hmm. Your deepest values, your passions, those are the two things that whenever we work with any individual who's looking at building a thought leader brand, even if, you know, for example, they say, Tanvi, how do you have a book coming out? I'm like, does not matter. We will begin at the rock bottom, mm-hmm. which is deep self-awareness and why you're doing what you're doing. We'll talk about your values, passion, your vision, your purpose. These are the fundamental VPs of building your personal brand. Mm-hmm. Something that I have learned from my guru, that is William Aruta, on how do you really build a brand that matters, not only to you, but to others as well. That will only happen when you are in deep resonance with your core authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. And how important is culture? You know, when I say culture, one is the culture of the environment that you've been brought up in, mm-hmm. the culture of the institutions that you may have studied in, which may help you to change a little bit. How important is culture in building your personal brand?
Oh, very. And I'm so glad again you brought this up, because, you know, we saw the advent and the rise of the industry mm-hmm. of personal branding in the mm-hmm. U.S. Beginning 2008, you know, following the last economic crisis that we had. The reason we saw this rise was because people suddenly realized that they're going to be out of jobs. They don't know when. Mm-hmm. They really wanted to be indispensable. They wanted to matter. They wanted the organizations and the potential hiring managers to see them as powerful candidates, see them as indispensable cogs in the ecosystem. And that is what really helped them promote themselves, push themselves out there and ensure that they are not made dispensable. Mm-hmm. Now, circa 2010, India. Okay, when I started doing this work in India, I realized that, okay, not everyone in India is comfortable promoting themselves. Mm-hmm. of putting themselves out there or tooting their own horn or evangelizing their ideas. And this is the cultural thing. You know, US has always been very forward in terms of voicing their thoughts. But in India, unfortunately, we've been told, shut up, keep your head down, do what you're told to do. Do what your fellow neighbor or your cousin or niece or whoever is doing in the family. Mm-hmm. Follow the rules. Mm-hmm. That's a culture upbringing that we've had, unfortunately. Mm-hmm. We've never been taught how to think. Mm-hmm. And in the land of Chanakya, I must say that we've never been taught how to think for ourselves. Mm-hmm. That is the reason at least 2 out of 10 people, whenever I've spoken at any event, have come up and told me, Tanvi, you know what? I'm not comfortable speaking out. I don't want to brag about myself. Mm-hmm. I want my work to speak for itself. And I go like, I understand you. I resonate with you. But tell me, when was the last time your work spoke to you? Forget the whole wide world out there. what are you really going to do to ensure that your work speaks for itself? You have to speak for it. You can't expect your inanimate dimension of creation to speak for itself unless you become the voice behind it in whatever form and modality that you are comfortable with. But that is an Indian thing. It's an Indian culture, context, upbringing, whatever we call it, that has inhibited a specific generation. And I'll be very specific about that, a specific generation. I did people who are in, who are beyond 40s today, in today's ecosystem, who are still very resistant to be visible, to be vocal, and to really put themselves out there. Mm-hmm. And this could be at least 85 to 90% of the mango people population out there who is still battling these cultural challenges that we have been nurtured with due mm-hmm. to our culture, our society, our parents, whatever it is. It's very unique for each one of us.
And if someone who has culturally got this big challenge of not wanting to speak about herself or himself, how do you step in?
Okay. So let me put it this way. All the clients that I've usually worked with don't come from that 85 to 90% mm-hmm. of the population. They are the 15% of people who really want to do something out there. They're not afraid to put themselves out there. Okay. So whatever one-on-one coaching, consulting work I do is focused only on those individuals who belong to the 10 to 15% of the population who can't wait mm-hmm. to express themselves and help more people do whatever it is better that they are putting out as their promise and their mm-hmm. idea. But when you talk about those 85% people, you know, we probably would never even think of working with a person brand strategist one-on-one. What they really need is, I think, a transcendence in their self-awareness, self-worth, self-esteem, and self-confidence mm-hmm. in this order. So whenever I do these talks, sessions, online, offline, whatever it has been for the last 10 years, this is my core message to all of them. This is what you need to start doing differently, thinking differently. And like you very rightly said, the behavior shift begins with the mindset shift. Mm-hmm. You need to start shifting the way you think from just thinking like a leader to wanting to think like a thought leader, to drive these shifts in all these self words that I just shared with you. Because unless that is taken care of, and a lot of those issues that are happened and been enforced upon us culturally have inhibited us from building awareness, worth, esteem, and confidence in who we really are as human beings. Okay. Or accomplished professionals that they all usually are, but they still have such deep scars of all the conditioning that has been imposed on us.
Interesting. So, Tanvi, we have time for two more questions. My next question is that give me an example of any one of your clients, no names, where you have actually worked with them and seen a significant change in behavioral patterns and an improvement in brand value.
Interesting. Oh, a couple of examples. Which one do I give? Do we have more of a corporate audience? And I'll give you a corporate example.
Any example. Okay. I mean, I don't want any names at all. So.
Sure. Cool. So this happened with one of the big fours. So mm-hmm. the CEO had hired me to work with a selection of partners over there. And their aspiration was to build icons in the industry. I said, brilliant. That is what I love to do. And I would love I'll do that as well. So I started working with a selection of partners. One of the partners who was assigned to me to work with, you know, two partners in the whole coaching journey was, as a person, as his inherent nature, a man of very limited words. He didn't really invest a lot of time in building relationships or nurturing relationships with whether partner level, director level, or teams. And there were initial perceptions about the individual that he was a very cold, calculating figure. And he just meant business. He just wanted to get things done because obviously there's a lot on his plate or whatever it is. So we started working with that individual. The first thing we did for him was to help him understand this perception that he had internally in the organization, because he was oblivious of this. And when I'd asked him, what do you aspire to do or be over here in this firm in the next 5 to 10 years, his aspiration was, you know, Tanvi, I want to be known as people's leader. Mm-hmm. I want to be the person that people go to anytime they have a problem. And then we performed his personal brand audit. These were the results that came in. Mm-hmm. You know, such a disconnect, there's such a disparity in what he thought of himself. He thought he was, you know, being productive mm-hmm. by ensuring that he doesn't waste time in other things which were not productive for the firm. Mm-hmm. But that really had a very negative impact on him mm-hmm. and his brand equity inside the organization. Forget outside, I'm not even talking about outside right now. Mm-hmm. So with those deep insights about his personal perception of himself, the external perception from his ecosystem in the firm and outside, mm-hmm. we helped him first align his brand in his own head, mm-hmm. what he wanted to do and become, and what people are unfortunately perceiving him to be today. There was no alignment in that. Mm-hmm. So that was the first step we did. After we started doing that, after I started coaching him around those mindsets and behavior shifts that he needs to demonstrate and personify consciously and authentically over a period of time, because these don't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. Because I think around 3 months of a break between the first, you know, call that we had with the client to this transition or transformation in his being. Mm-hmm. So the next meeting I had, which was a debrief with the CEO actually told me, you know, on his own accord, like, I mean, I don't know, whatever you're doing with, you know, let's call him John, for example, with John, it's working. Because a lot of people have come back and told me that they are sensing a perceptible shift in the way John, for example, mm-hmm. is conducting himself and is starting to handle his affairs differently. Mm-hmm. So that's an internal brand shift that started happening consciously mm-hmm. for him on his own accord. Of course, it wouldn't have worked if he didn't really aspire to be that person. Right? Because not a lot of people beyond 45 are capable of behavioral change. Mm-hmm. Externally in the industry, he wanted to be known as the top most rated consultant or expert in the industry. Mm-hmm. So when we did an audit externally, he was in the top 10 somewhere in the industry. Mm-hmm. Coming from obviously a financial background, you know, they have these audits that they do externally in the industry also, which are the most sought after, quoted, featured, interviewed experts, you know, across the whole year in the Big Four. And he was in the top 10. Mm-hmm. So we worked with him for like a year and a half at the firm. And within that year, we did 2 audits externally for him to help him build his brand visibility mm-hmm. and equity by helping him become more visible and be known as a thought leader with the content he started then creating.
Right.
So within the 6 months, he was in the top 5 from top 10. And within the 12 months, you know, the second master that we did, he was the number one most quoted, interviewed, featured expert by the Economic Times. And of course, these other big papers as well. But that was his prime goal. He wanted to be that for the ET. So these are a few shifts that we did both internally and externally for the said individual.
Amazing. What a fabulous example. Thank you very much. Tanvi, we've run out of time. So thank you so much for talking to me. Thank you for talking to me at such length about personal branding, about the factors that go into personal branding, about becoming a thought leader. And thank you for this incredible example that you gave me. Good luck to you.
Thank you so much, Ashutosh, for hosting me today. It was a pleasure speaking to you. And I'm so proud of the work that you are doing with your podcast called The Brand Quality. It's so imperative that we have more and more stories, amazing thinkers and history makers out there. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.